I wonder, do you ever arrive in a place and you'd maybe expected, if it was a railway station, that there'd be the usual timetable, and then the train would be waiting at the platform and you would get on and commence your journey. But on this occasion, things are different. Maybe it's completely deserted. Or there's been some football match and there are crowds of supporters coming through. The unexpected. This morning I've come to church and I sense there are many of you here who are very hard working people during the week and on Sundays. Some of you have Sunday ministries you'd normally be leading in another area of the church this morning, a group or another act of worship. And you're here this morning. It's a sort of quiet Sunday, this Trinity Sunday, and it's a time for taking stock. Some of you are about to go back into the classroom on Monday morning, into other areas of work. And I sense it's like we're on the cusp of something this morning. Whether it's just a second half of term or maybe a new beginning for you. I don't know. I wonder whether you sense that as you're here this morning. I haven't prepared this part of my sermon, but that's what I'm sensing we have this morning, this Trinity Sunday, which is exciting. What is it that God's got in store for us today? Well, this part I did prepare, and that is to say that I'm going to keep reference to the Trinity really straightforward today, and that I'm going to talk about the relationship of God. So God within God and his relationship with us. So that's where I'm coming from. It's possible to know God through Jesus Christ. That's my message today. It's the essence of why we celebrate the Trinity. It's because we're invited into a relationship. Let me start off where Nicodemus started off. And he was inquiring, and he was sort of saying, now, Jesus, you are special. I know that you are, because to do those sort of things that you've been doing, healing and delivering evil spirits out of people, teaching with that wisdom, you must be from God. And Jesus immediately catches on to what he really wants. See, he wants to be close with God. There's Nicodemus. And so he... Jesus comes back and say, there's one thing, you know, that you can't do without, Nicodemus, to get into the kingdom of God, and that's to be born from above. So he actually comes right to the center of the man's need and said, you need to have a relationship with God the Father. And in order for that, you've got to be born of water, repentance, and of the Spirit. What is that? It's our spirits asking God to fill us with his Spirit, born from above. And then this relationship can properly begin. So Jesus says in verse 3 of chapter 3 of John, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. And then he begins to speak in ways of imagery about the wind, about the breath, about the life and spirit. But I just want to take first part of verse 11 with you. Jesus says this, verily, verily, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen. See, Jesus was speaking out of that oneness with the Father in relationship. And so he was able to speak with the wisdom of God into that situation with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was wanting so much to be part of that which Jesus enjoyed. And Jesus is saying, here's a taste of what I'm enjoying with the Father. I'm speaking from what I know, from what I see and what I hear from God. I am speaking from that. Would you like to come and be part of that holy family with a small h and a small f? I believe that God is making that invitation to each of us this morning, that if we've never asked him in the Spirit, then he invites us to today. If we have, but we feel it's a bit pale and fractured and obscure and distant, then he says, will you renew today by faith your relationship with me? Young George Windsor will discover one day that he's third in line to the throne, won't he? And he'll discover that he's been given a whole lot of status and expectation in the country, that this and that commission and church and state, whatever, have him nominally at the head in some way. His responsibility is to Commonwealth and nation. But hopefully, through his nurture now as an infant, he will know that truly he belongs to William and Kate. That is his first place of belonging. And hopefully also, as was prayed at George's baptism, he will be growing in trust of his Heavenly Father, and he will himself choose Jesus as Lord. He will enter into that relationship, which is above all these other responsibilities, other roles, jobs, ministries. And it's into this relationship of personal knowledge of God that I want to speak today. Give you an illustration. I was at boarding school, twice really, once from the age of 8 and then again at 13. And even in my secondary school, which was boarding, I used to go into school at the beginning of a term with a freshly baked cake that my mother had baked in a tin. And like the cake, it would, this sense of my family coming into school with me would disappear within days. So at first, I would react to situations and circumstances round about me in the same way that our family had been reacting in the holidays, in the same way that my parents particularly reacted in those different sort of circumstances. But I felt, as day succeeded day, that this reaction that was natural in me, it leaked. It sort of went through me like a sieve until, on about the fifth day, no cake, and also an immature reaction to circumstances and situations. One that was based upon my peers, those with whom I was surrounded, rather than upon my parents and my family. I don't know whether you've ever had that sort of experience, but I felt it was a possible illustration for us to take up about this sense of who we really are. If we know that we have been bought by the blood of Christ to be sons of God, and I say that not as a gender term, but as those who are inheritors with Christ of the kingdom of God, to reign with him in heaven forever, true sons and heirs, if we know who we are in God, then these other things which are expected of us in this life will take a different proportion of our attention. We will know that really and truly we can face all these difficult situations and circumstances because of the love that is held for us in this dynamic relationship with God. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to address this in general terms and then in personal terms for us. Being part of God's family and named by Him is a unique privilege rather than an exclusive privilege. So I and each of you who believe in Christ have a unique relationship with God. And yet, such a relationship is what every human being is invited to enjoy. In that state of oneness spiritually with God, Christians are often misunderstood by the world. But rather than shunning contact with non-believers, the Christian is called to share the good news of God's love in Jesus with them. So the Christian faith is not a Gnostic faith, like a superior echelon of the human race, which cuts itself off with its exclusivity from the rest of society. But Christians are made holy and are called to live holy lives through Christ. This will inevitably lead them to clash in their values and in the outworking of their lives with those whose source of instruction is from elsewhere, from a false god, from the flesh, their carnal desires, our own human intellect and ambition and energy, from the world. Jesus experienced this, and he reminded his disciples, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, which they called Jesus, how much more will they malign those of his household, you and me? That's Matthew 10. Find it as well in John 13. Find it again in John 15. Jesus often teaches about this. Positively, the mission of Jesus Christ is our mission. God did not stay in heaven, waiting to judge the world he had created. But he sent Jesus as Savior of the world, so that people might recognize his love for them and turn to him to be saved. For us who believe in Jesus, this mission is not an option. For the very Spirit that lives within us cries out on behalf of our unsaved friends and family, even those far away and of different religions who do not know what it is to enjoy being part of God's holy family. Again, I use the small h and the small f. Having a one-to-one with God in prayer and communion, such as we're invited into today. In no other religion has God truly bridged the gap between the divine and his creation. God has done that in Christ. He's become grounded in the human race. So again, I say those verses from John 3:11. Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, says Jesus, and testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees as well as to Nicodemus, to all those who are opposing him. Yet we've been given something very special and personal. Here I address the Trinity in personal terms to you. Do you know what it is to sit by the fireside with God in the chair opposite you, to let him share his insights with you and to ask him the yearnings of your heart? For some of us, this idea of a personal, intimate relationship with God is difficult and problematic in that they would say, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, and it couldn't be for me. And I just want to say, be blessed in your spiritual poverty. If you said, oh yes, I've got God in an armchair, or I've got God encompassed by my vision and my understanding, that sort of knowledge, I'd say, oh no, you haven't. But if you say, I so much want to make a start, or I so much want more in my relationship with God, I'd say, yes, that is a sign of life. You want more of God. And then others have said to me over various years, particularly men in church, they've said, you know, my wife gets these terrific spiritual vibes, and I just don't get any. What's this about? I've waited for years. I've not had the sort of tingling and the stuff that she seems to get in worship. What's this about? I believe sometimes, you know, we bypass the facts in order to seek for the feeling. And what we need to do is to go back to the fact of who you are, Mr. Whoever you are, in the sight of God. And when you know that you are his child, when you know that you belong to him, that you have been given all the blessings of God in Jesus Christ, chosen before the foundation of the world, destined to inherit with him to reign in heaven. When you begin to grasp that, goes from here, doesn't it, down to here. And the feelings are a bonus, if you get any vibes and feelings. But the important thing is that you know that you belong to God in Jesus Christ. You're that close. There are others who've had blockages because the term father in relation to God is mixed up with human father associations. And the fact is that even the best human father has not been able to replicate in any way that profound, immense, sacrificial love of God that is the Father's love. And so even those who've had the best fathers will need to look beyond them in terms of expectation, because God, our Heavenly Father, knows everything about us before we were born. God, our Heavenly Father, loves us so completely as we are. May we today let him hold us in his strong arms. May we in our spirit say, okay, Jesus, you've died on the cross for me. I'll let you be Lord. I'll let you have first place, be king of my life. And in that way, our spirit be filled with his spirit. Would any of you like to begin that relationship with him today? It's possible. Just ask in the prayer corner afterwards, see me after. We'll help you to begin that journey of relationship, growing in the knowledge of the love of God. If you want to renew that, then why not also stay behind? Just find somebody with a badge, somebody nearby you know can pray with you. Just to say yes, all that you're seeking from God, he wants to give you and more. May you be blessed. Let's be quiet now just for a moment before I hand back to Peter to lead us on with the choir.